What does it mean that they were added? Today, when we think about church membership, we think about somebody walks the aisle, they come to the front, and either we baptize them and then they're added as a member, or they come from another church where we either take a letter from another church or they're added by statement of their faith and their baptism in another place. But what we think about membership today is as the group here taking a vote, voting to accept someone, and then their name is recorded in our church roll and we consider them a member. But in this day, I don't think it was so much about having a name written down on a roll or anything like that, but there was some kind of visible recognition that they were added to that group. There was some kind of acknowledgement that these people who were outside of us are now part of us. And that's what matters. Does it have to be a name written on a piece of paper or a name typed into a database? No, what matters is there is a visible recognition that these people who were saved and baptized were added to that group. There wasn't just Christians running around everywhere, but God brings us together into local assemblies. I want to take a minute to say this. In verse 41, it says, they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Baptism and church membership are connected, but they are not the same thing. Church membership and baptism are connected, but they are not the same thing. Obviously, baptism is a prerequisite for church membership. We look at that all through the New Testament. People who are saved and baptized are part of churches. So they're connected, but they're not the same event. Baptism is a public identification with the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. It is a public picture of what Christ has done for us and what Christ is in us. Baptism is a picture of our salvation. Can we at least agree on that? Okay. Baptism is a picture of what Christ has done for us and in us. Baptism is about picturing our salvation, and it's about identifying with Jesus. Church membership is a recognized, accountable belonging to a gathered assembly. And if we don't get that right, if we don't keep those things distinct as the scripture does, we can get some things really mixed up as we study the scriptures. If baptism is what places you in the church, then we have some issues when we look at verses like Acts 22:16, and now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. We might think that it's baptism that takes away our sins. And we might think that it's baptism that makes us part of Christ, that puts us in Christ. 1 Peter 3:21, the like figure whereunto even baptism does also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience towards God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And there's some verses like these, repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. We read these verses, and if you're not careful to study out the scriptures, it sounds like baptism saves you. It sounds like baptism takes away your sins. It sounds like baptism is what puts you in Christ. But we know that we're put in Christ by faith alone, not by baptism. I'm just trying to give you guys a chance to amen things that are true. Why does that matter? Because we're not saved by works. Baptism, listen, baptism is something that, number one, at least it takes two people. You don't baptize yourself. Right? No, somebody else baptizes you. And the idea that somebody else would be involved in the act that puts you in Christ, that puts you in the church, that makes this thing a reality, we understand that that's not the case. This is a spiritual reality, and baptism and church membership are separate things. So baptism is prerequisite. This is the pattern. This is the order. They that gladly receive the word, one, they're saved. Number two, they're baptized. Number three, they're added. That's the pattern that we see. So the gospel's received, they're baptized, they're added, and then we notice that they continue. They continue, right? Verse 42, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. Salvation and baptism are not the finish line, they're the starting line. This is where you begin. And I think that we've got a major problem in Christianity in America and around the world today where we can't even take the first steps. People people say a prayer, they say they believe in Jesus, but then they never get baptized. There's a problem with that. People get saved and then they get baptized and they never join themselves with a local church. They don't serve Christ as part of a local body. There's a problem with that. These are not the biblical pattern is that you get saved, then you get baptized, then you join yourself with in a local assembly and you continue. You continue in the apostles' doctrine. You continue in fellowship. You continue in breaking of bread and in prayers. You continue in loving and helping and serving with one accord. You continue with gladness and singleness of heart. You continue in worship and praising God. You continue in the things. And he wraps it up at the end of the chapter. The Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved, or we might say as were being saved. And God is doing this work, and it all is supposed to be a lived out, real thing in the local church that pictures what Christ has done for us spiritually through his death and resurrection by the work of his Spirit in salvation. Church membership means being connected to the body. Romans chapter 12, verse 4 and 5. Church membership means being connected to the body. Romans chapter 12, verse 4 says, "For as we have many members in one body, and all the members have not the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another." We, Paul, writes from another place to the saints at Rome, and he says, we are all part of this one thing, but we understand that that's lived out in the local assembly. God has taken many of us, and he puts us together in one body. We're all members of Jesus Christ. Christ is the head. We're part of his body. But then he says we're members one of another. And he doesn't just connect me to him and you to him and you to him. He connects all of us to him and to each other. He puts us together, and the picture, the analogy, is of a body. And we see the same picture in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12. "For as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ." This is how Christ is. One, made up of many. "For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit." And I submit to you that you drank of that Spirit by faith in the Lord Jesus at your salvation. The Spirit put you into Christ, and that makes you part of his body. He is the head, we are the body. But it goes beyond that to the local assembly. Verse 14, "The body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I'm not the hand, am I not the body? Is it therefore not of the body?" And he goes on and talks about how God has set the members, every one of them in the body, as it pleased him. And there are many members, but one body. This is the work that he's done, and he wants us to be united. And I want you to jump down to verse 25. I'm not reading all this again because we just read it last week, but jump down to verse 25. He says that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And this goes right back to what we studied this morning, that we would love and minister to and serve one another out of love, because he's put us all together. Verse 26, "Whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it, or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular." Members in particular. So we see being part of the church means connected. It means being connected. I just want to tell you this, that a Christian, a believer, a saint who refuses to have meaningful connection to a local church is not living according to the biblical pattern of the New Testament. If you are in Christ, you ought to be baptized. And if you are in Christ, you ought to be baptized, and you ought to be part of a local church. That's the pattern. That's the picture. That's the pattern. You ought to be part of the body and serve in the body. Church membership means continuing in doctrine and growing towards maturity. So it's connected and it's growing. We just read in Acts 2:42, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship and in breaking of bread and prayers. When they were added to the church, it wasn't just about making a decision. They didn't just fill out a card, make a decision. They didn't just ABC 1, 2, 3, repeat after me, say a prayer, and that's it. It was the beginning. They didn't just make a decision. They continued. And church membership includes commitment to the doctrines, to the faith that was once delivered to the saints. A local church isn't a social club. This is a place where we gather in and around and through apostolic truth. And can I just say this? One of the things that our doctrinal statement says is that we hold the Bible to be our all-sufficient rule of faith and practice. I believe that's true, and I hope you believe that's true. The Bible is our all-sufficient rule of faith and practice. What does that mean? It means it's all-sufficient. We don't need anything else. If we have the Bible, we have all that we need. It's all-sufficient, and it is our rule for faith, what we believe, and practice, what we do. If we get the Bible, then that's all we need. It's everything. It's everything. We uphold the Word of God as everything. If we didn't have the Bible, we wouldn't have anything. But He's given us His Word, and it's what we live by. Now, I want to invite you to look to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 16. Church membership is not only connected, but it's growing. This is the picture that He gives us, that body. And if you want a healthy body, all the body parts have to be connected to each other, right? Man, y'all are making it rough this afternoon. Golly. I mean, Sean gets this. I know I've used the illustration too many times, but man, I worked in my dad's cabinet shop, and I remember more than one occasion I had to go out into the shop and try to help find a guy's finger because he cut it off on a saw, and we're taking him to the ER, and we're hoping they'll be able to reattach his finger. Okay? That's gross, but that's just... I don't know. I'm just trying to tell you, like, it's unhealthy when you cut off parts of your body. It's not good, right? And so there's this idea that for my body to be healthy, I need all the parts to be connected, you know, all to stick together, to be together. But healthy things are growing things. And you say, well, obviously, Brother Isaac, you're not growing anymore except in the wrong direction. I get that. But can I say this? You know that every day, your body is regenerating itself, right? All through your body, cells are dying and being regenerated. And that's the way we're healthy. Growing new cells is happening all the time. And healthy bodies grow. And the Lord wants us to grow. And so in Ephesians 4, verse 11, it says, and He gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting or the maturing of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So the Lord gave these leaders. In the beginning, it was the apostles, and after them came prophets, and after them came evangelists and pastors and teachers. And God has established leaders in His local churches from the very beginning so that those men could lead the church, teach the church, help the church to perfect the saints, to bring the saints to maturity so that all of us together can do the work of the ministry. He's given these leaders to perfect the saints, to bring them to maturity for the work of the ministry, for the edifying or the building up of the body of Christ. And so the Lord has leaders established in the church to help the church grow up in maturity, so growing together so that the church can build up itself in love. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into Him in all things which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together, compacted by that which every joint supplies, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, makes increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. So He wants the perfecting of the saints for the work of the ministry, for the edifying the body, so that we all grow up in church, in Christ, in His body, and the body builds itself. They're to be equipped to become stable in doctrine, speak the truth in love, contribute to the increase of the body, and help the body edify itself in love. So church members aren't just connected, but church members are growing together under the ministry of the Word of God. That's what a church ought to do. So we're connected in Christ, and we're growing in His Word. Everybody tracking so far? All right. Next, church membership means serving. Connected, growing, and serving. we're bouncing back a little bit just to kind of make sure we understand the flow of it. But back in Romans chapter 12, we pick up at verse 6. Romans chapter 12, verse 6. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teaches on teaching, or he that exhorts on exhortation, he that gives, let him do it with simplicity, he that rules with diligence, he that shows mercy with cheerfulness, let love be without dissimulation, abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good, be kindly affection one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of the saints, given to hospitality. And here's the point. Our bodies are healthy when all the parts are together. Our bodies are healthy when they're growing, and our bodies are also healthy when they're working. God made our bodies to move. Now, just help me out physically. What happens to a person if they don't move their body? I saw a man in India, one of the gods he wants to see. He has been standing still without moving. I think the article, somebody correct me if I'm wrong, I think it was 12 years this man has not moved. 12 years. His legs are black and basically dead. He hasn't moved. What happens when you don't move a body part? Well, you guys know, like eventually it gets your muscles atrophy, your joints lock up, and you literally can't move. Your body is made to move. It's made to work. And the body of Christ is made to serve. We're made to move. We're made to work. We're made to do things. And what is it that we do? Just move for the sake of movement? No. We're to be moving to be disciples who make disciples. We're to move to preach the gospel to the lost, to serve those who are needy, to love one another, to serve one another, to bear one another's burdens. Like, we're supposed to help each other. To listen, it is ministry to weep with those who weep and to rejoice with those who rejoice. Like, all of the things that he tells us to do, this is the work of the church, the body in movement. And we can talk about some songs that some of you might know. You know, if we are the body, why aren't his hands? Why aren't his feet moving? Why aren't his hands reaching? What are we doing? We say we're the body of Christ, but if I'm not going and taking the gospel, if I'm not helping people in need, then I'm not actively doing what he's called me to do. The church is supposed to serve, so it's connected and growing and serving. This is what a church is supposed to do, to minister with the gifts that God has given us. 1 Peter 4:8 says, and above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. As every man has received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God gives, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. And when we serve one another in the church, this is how Christ is glorified in the church. Church membership isn't a spectator sport. Too many people think that being a church member means that you have your name on a roll and you sit in your pew on Sunday morning. That is not what it means to be a church member. Can we just get real for a second? Y'all be okay with that? I've heard people who used to be part of this church who had an attitude that they had rights and deserved respect because their name was on the church roll, though they hadn't darkened the door but once in 10 years. I'm a member. I have rights because my name's on the roll. Friends, that's not what a church member is. There has to be commitment. There has to be faithfulness. And don't get me wrong, I understand there are people who physically cannot be here. I get that. And that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about people who have claimed this right because of our theology that says if your name's on the church roll, you're a member. And they kind of are just kind of resting in that. And being honest, they're just being lazy in that. and they don't want to be faithful, and they don't want to be connected, and they don't want to grow, and they don't want to serve. That's not what a member is. Membership means that we are together in Christ, loving Him, serving Him by loving one another and serving one another. And we are connected and we are growing and we are serving like members of a body should. We ought to be faithful. You guys know Hebrews 10:25, right? It's open book if you don't know it. It's cool. It's like every pastor's favorite verse. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. You guys remember that one? But I want you to back up and catch verse 23. He says, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. And so much the more as you see the day approaching. See, the whole thing about not forsaking the assembling, the whole thing about assembling together is not to be here to watch the show. It's not to be here to be entertained by the message or the preaching or to see what you can get out of it. Coming together is about you loving one another and me loving you and you loving me. It's about love. It's about provoking to love and to good work. It's about encouraging one another and exhorting one another until the day that Jesus comes again. And we have got it messed up in our country today. American Christianity has made it a spectator sport. And I get it. I thank God that we have a old-fashioned church. I'm thankful that we don't have to have smoke and lights and mirrors and a show. I am. I just want you to get it that it's not just showing up. Having your name on a roll and attending services, that is not what it means to be a church member. And I'll keep saying it until somebody stinking amens it. Church membership is also connected with the ordinances. Church membership means sharing in the ordinances. Baptism marks our public identification with Christ. The Lord's Supper is observed in the life of the local church. When you come together, and when we come together, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, we can't do it with divisions. We can't do it with unconfessed or unrepented sin. We can't do it with public and known and open sin. We come together in a worthy manner of the body and blood of Jesus Christ to remember. Church membership means a lot of things. But at the end of the day, it's more than just having your name on a church roll. Church membership means that I'm connected and I'm growing and I'm serving in a body. And a church member ought to continue in the doctrine. A church member ought to gather faithfully. A church member ought to love one another and serve one another in the church. A church member ought to bear the burdens of others in the church. And a church member ought to strive for unity as part of the body of Christ. A church member ought to partner in the work of being disciples who make disciples. A church member ought to submit to faithful shepherding. God established leaders in the church to lead so that we could all grow together and work together and serve together. And a church is responsible for putting people out who are unfaithful with the goal of restoration. Restoration, when it comes to discipline, is always the goal. Restoration is always the goal. And if we studied, we took the time to look to 1 Corinthians chapter 5, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, we won't take the time to do that. You can study, you can read it on your own. Just know this, that when there is known sin in the church has a responsibility to put those out who are unrepentant. And we understand, just practically, if there is a putting out, there has to be a bringing in. Now, what does that mean exactly in the New Testament? He doesn't lay it out for us. We have some liberty when it comes to that. But here's what I want to encourage you with, brothers and sisters. We need to establish our doctrine and practices by what the Bible says, not by what the Bible doesn't say. And we need to always be very careful to identify the things that are clear commands in Scripture versus liberty things where we get to decide how to do things. What do I mean by that? I just mean this. I mean that there's some clear commands in the Bible that we need to obey. And there are some things in the Bible that it doesn't exactly say. Like, I can't find anywhere in my Bible where it says you need to keep a church roll and you need to put their name on a list. It doesn't say that. It doesn't say that anywhere. We have practices that we do today where we, if somebody from this church goes to join another church, a sister church, we send a letter with them, or they'll ask for a letter. Those things aren't in the scriptures. They're not there. There's letters of commendation, right? What is that? Well, that's to show that, like Apollos, they sent letters of commendation with Apollos. Why? To testify about the kind of man Apollos was. Okay? Is that the same thing as our modern day church letter? No, it's not the same thing. It's not the same thing. So we just need to be careful. We need to be careful that we don't establish for doctrine or teach for doctrine the commandments of men. Do we need some polity? Yeah, you bet we do. Why? Because God wants everything in the church to be done decently and in order. But where we have liberty to establish that order, let's understand that's a matter of liberty. And where we have clear commands from Scripture, let's understand that we have no liberty to change the commands of Scripture. We want to keep that balance always. Always keep that balance. Church membership. I'll say it like this. A church member is a believer, truly born again, who is publicly identified with Christ through water baptism in obedience to Jesus Christ in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, who has been received by that local assembly and committed themselves to live, to be connected, to grow, to serve, to worship, and to carry out Christ's mission with that body under his authority. The reason we're together today is because we're all in Christ. I belong to him. I think it's really important that we understand this afternoon that this local church belongs to Jesus. It's the Lord's church. It's not Isaac's church. This church belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not even really our church. It's his. So what does it mean to be a member? It means to be part of the body of Christ. It means to be part of the building of Christ. It means to be those who are in Christ who have gathered together to do his work. And remember this afternoon, it's all about him. It's never been about us. And I don't think it's ever going to be. It's always him. Will you pray with me? Lord, I thank you for just a little bit of time in the Word. And I'm thankful for your churches. Lord, I know that you established your churches. I know that you have given the power of your Spirit. I know that you have given us your doctrine through the apostles, through the writings of scriptures. I know that you've preserved those truths and you've done it largely through your churches. I know that you've given us a calling and a gifting to do the work that you've called us to do. And I pray, Lord, that you'll help us to walk in your truth. Lord, to remember that we are one in Christ, to remember that you are the head and that your word is all sufficient, to remember that our responsibility is to believe you and to, by your grace and by your Spirit, serve you. So, Lord, help us to love you with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Help us to love one another as you have shown your love to us. Help us to forgive one another, to be kind and tenderhearted. Help us to be connected, committed to the local church, and help us to grow together in your truth, in your word, by your Spirit, and help us to do the work that you've called us to do. Lord, that we would truly be disciples who are striving to make disciples for your glory. I pray you'll forgive, that you'll give wisdom and guide us, and I pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Would you stand with me?